afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and I'd like to introduce you to Charlene McNeil. Hi, Charlene.
Hi.
You know, I've got something really interesting to talk to you about today.
Okay.
I was watching PBS yesterday. Didn't see it from the very beginning, kind of came on towards the end, but it really did remind me of you and the work that we do today.
Okay.
And it was about a story about two scientists, and I can't remember their names because, like I said, I didn't get on at the very beginning. But there were two scientists who were working on the Genome Project, and for those who might not be familiar with that, that's where the complete genetic code has been mapped out for, you know, the human body. And so what they were doing with this is they were noticing that people who had serious diseases like diabetes, for instance, that there were certain markers that were turned off in the genetic code. And so they became intrigued with this because they had looked at some behavior of animals and they had gotten an idea that perhaps...
Wow.
Did we have a caller? You didn't like my story, huh?
That was a quickie.
I know. They didn't even give me a chance to tell my story.
Well, we'll
and your,
get to.
Your name, caller?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, my name is John.
Hi, John.
How you doing? Yeah, I just found your website today. Somebody I'm going to be speaking with in a couple months. I see her. She has a show on this website, and I've never seen it before.
Ah.
The reason why I'm calling is many years ago I had what people call a close encounter. I was near the Mojave Desert.
Well, that's exciting.
And I was on a camping trip. My ex-wife, my next-door neighbor, his wife and kids. And there wasn't room for my neighbor, myself, to sleep in the trailer, so we slept out on the picnic benches. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, I was awakened to him yelling, the dog barking. And what I saw was something that appeared 9 feet tall, didn't make any sound, didn't make any up-and-down movement like a person walking, so I assumed it was gliding. I ran to the trailer. I had a Russian AK-44 rifle in the trailer. My friend went and locked himself in his car. I sat there for 3 hours with the rifle pointed towards the door, waited until the sun came up, went over to see if I could find any tracks, couldn't find any tracks, woke him up. You know, he was really petrified, and I asked him what it was. He said, I don't want to talk about it. At that time, I got an impression from himself that he saw himself reflected through eternity. Now, I know that sounds poetic, and I told the scientists later, years later, that started working with me, Dr. Haynes.
Oh,
and
don't forget your suit.
And Dr. Harder at UC Berkeley. And after that encounter, for 10 years, I kept having all these strange occurrences happen, which I thought were strange. And finally, I went to see a psychic in San Francisco. I went to work for the San Francisco newspaper. And I told my superior about my encounter and different experiences and got me in touch with the psychic, Fred Null. And as soon as I walked in, he said, aliens. And he got me in touch with Dr. Richard Haynes at NASA. He tested me, and he says, you have a subjective reality. Something did happen. But he said, felt everything was coincidence, which I didn't think so. But 3 weeks later, Dr. Haynes sees me on television winning an airplane on a slot machine. I put in three quarters and won a Cessna Skyhawk. And the casino didn't believe me that I was a pilot. I had to show my pilot's license. And I was in shock. You know, they said, why don't you jump up and down? You just won an airplane. And it was because of everything that had happened prior to that. And then it seemed like all hell broke loose. One thing after another kept happening. I was finally put in contact with Dr. Chris Hatcher, who was associate professor of psychology at UC San Francisco. Originally, he felt that I had a rare form of telekinesis, that I was creating these events. And then I was seen by Sylvia Brown. She had a private session with me. She said it was my spirit guide, very tall, very silver. But I asked her why alien keeps entering into it, and she said, I see you in a flying machine directing the building of the pyramids. So I am an investigative reporter, and I went on the search to find out what I was dealing with, whether or not it was aliens, or because one half looked like supernatural forces, the other half looked like aliens. And it led me down some trails that were just unbelievable to the assassination of Robert Kennedy, Charles Manson, all kinds of stuff. So when I ceased my investigation in 95, I had just tried to interview Charles Manson. I'd already interviewed Charles Tex Watson, the one that killed Sharon Tate. And I stopped my investigation because somebody I met then, I told her what I was working on, it scared her. So I just stopped, and everything seemed to cease. But then last year I was hospitalized. They thought I had a heart attack. And the nurse had read my book. I have a book out, Pozan, that I wrote many years ago. And she was in a state of hysteria, practically. She said these aliens were bothering her, and she wanted to know if I could help her. And so I said, I really don't want to get into that. He said, I don't want to open anything up. And I tried to get a hold of Dr. Harder, who had worked with me at UC Berkeley. I found out he had just died. I tried to get a hold of Dr. Haynes at NASA. Couldn't get a hold of Dr. Haynes. So I got a hold of somebody else, and they read my book, and they said, wow, you know, this is incredible. We'd like you to, you know, speak on this. And I agreed that I would, but then about a week and a half ago, I had something out. I started sleepwalking, and I got up and wrote something on the computer, totally in the dark. The words were like it being written in stone. They were all animated, different colors, different language. And then I woke my wife up after I wrote it, and I said, I just wrote a masterpiece, and I read it, and it's just crazy, crazy stuff. And I'm just curious to find out whether or not this something's opening again, which I don't want to. I mean, if it is, I'm just going to stop going any further.
You've had a quite an interesting story, and a lot of things have happened to you that you really apparently don't have the answers as far as understanding exactly what happened, John. But let me, I've been following your story and listening intensely, but I'm trying to, if you were to take this and put it into a form of a question, what question would you be posing to us?
Well, the question would be, what was I dealing with? First off, what was it I encountered, number one?
Mm-hmm.
Because the first place I looked or went to after this encounter happened was the church.
Mm-hmm.
And the church told me I was dealing with Satan, posing as an alien, and, demons and so on.
Well, that's usually the answer you get.
And it really kind of threw me. And the reason why, like I said, some of the things that happened look like it could be what we term supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my car burned up. The heat was so intense it melted the engine block.
You mean when this first event happened in the desert?
Pardon me?
In the desert, you mean?
No, this happened years later.
This was another time.
I won the airplane. I had the encounter in 75.
Mm-hmm.
I won the airplane in 81. My car burned up in 81. All these, and I called Dr. Harder. He was a professor at UC Berkeley at that time. He's the one who worked with Betty and Barney Hill, Travis
mm-hmm,
Walton.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a professor of engineering. And the reason why he got involved with UFO investigation is he was sent a piece of metal to analyze, and he said there's no way this could have been manufactured on this planet. That's how he got involved. And he's the one that regressed me and said he was 99% convinced I'd been abducted many times.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the question is, like I said, one half seemed like supernatural, the other half seemed like alien. The scientists are saying alien. And like I said, all of a sudden, I'm sleepwalking now. I've never done that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm writing something that just doesn't make any... I mean, there's a couple of things that bother me in what I wrote. But I'm that's the question. What was it?
Well,
what is it that you wrote? Or what?
No, he got up in the middle of the night and wrote things, and he's
right,
not sure what he wrote, Charlie, and this is how I understand what
so
he's saying.
So are you channeling?
Yeah, I wrote something. I came up the computer, turned the computer on, obviously. I must have been writing in the dark. And it seemed like I really had to write this. And it was like I was writing in stone. You know, the words were going into stone, and the words became animated and in color. And it was a language I didn't know. But then, you know, when I printed it out, it was, you know, in English. But it was just a bunch of gibberish. I mean, it's just really crazy stuff.
You're saying in English it's gibberish?
Pardon me?
You're saying that when you translated it into English, it was gibberish?
In English, well, I'll read it to you. And like I said, it really sounds crazy. I am a writer, and I would never write something like this. I mean, it's nothing close to the way I write, but... It says, you cannot believe what goes first. They all go first, like jitterbugs. Big and little jitterbugs will show how you must do it. You must stand tall and no, I say, no peeing your pants or anyone else's. Otherwise, liar, liar, pants on fire. What a great fire, can see it from here. Makes the tablecloth. At least someone has style here besides Monty Hall. By the way, where is that flamethrower speaking in tongues? He corrupts the air he breathes. If, in fact, he breathes at all. Let's find out who has a big salami to hit the bugger with. He might be on his donkey. How about that? Hooray for the donkey.
Well, from what you're telling me, John, is this the way you're feeling there? You feel that perhaps over many times you've been abducted by people that we would call aliens, and you want to end this, and there's fear around it that perhaps this activity is might increasing more. Is that sort of like the crux of this conversation?
Yeah, like I said, this sleepwalking just started, and it started because I got the nurse asked me to help her. I couldn't find anybody I got in contact with, and I'm back. I'm going to be speaking on it to a large audience about this, and I've never done that since 84, 85. I mean, I didn't even do it then.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason why it became public back then is because I won the airplane and I had to appear on television, and one thing led to another. And when somebody read my book, they said, "Why? How come we've never heard of you?" I said, "Because when the scientists were working with me, they didn't want me to get involved with any other so-called abductees because they didn't want me contaminated." And then after that was over, I didn't want to come in contact with you because I thought you were a bunch of screwballs. But
Well, you have spoken to Miss Brown and had a reading from her,
mm-hmm.
and you have spoken to people who have hypnotized you.
Well, not only that, I sat in front of 30 psychics in California
mm-hmm.
one night, and they said they'd never seen energy like me, that I scared them. And, you know, just all this stuff, you know, like I said, I'm an investigator, and all this stuff is flooding in, and it was...
Are you asking what the purpose is this?
Pardon me?
Are you asking what is the purpose of all this?
I don't think he really asked that, Charlene.
Well, sort of.
Well, he kind of asked who were these people who he's contacted to, and he didn't want to bring forth this activity. He wants to keep it under wraps, so to speak. But see, your question is an interesting question also. You know, in a sense, John, we all have come from other planets. I suspect that you know that, don't you?
Well, that's what intrigued me about Sylvia Brown. I never really gave much credence to psychics, but I've seen things over the years that kind of made me change my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that really intrigued me was, you know, she said that she saw me in a flying machine directing the building of the pyramids. Now,
mm-hmm.
She may have known about the alien because I appeared on television. There was an article written about me. This was back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't know about the reference to Ra. I was told that in my previous life I had a war with Ra. I lost the war with Ra, stole Ra's daughter. And in fact, Dr. Harder told a friend of mine that I was one of them, that I was one of the aliens. I'm listening to all this, trying to remain neutral. But, being an investigator, but it was very difficult because it's all happening to me, and it's not me saying these things are happening. There's an airplane sitting out at the airport. There's my car with the engine burned up and all this other stuff. And Dr. Hatcher, the associate professor of psychology at UC San Francisco, worked with me about 4 years, and I remember sitting there and saying, Chris, can you stop this? He said, John, I don't know what we're dealing with. And that's the question. What am I dealing with, and should I continue? And if something is opening up because of me saying I'm going to agree to speak on this and be more exposed again, and if it opens up and I have to go, and if I even come close to going through what I went through, back in those years, I just can't do it. And I don't want to do it. And
you just want to close the door on everything.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah, there's two sleepwalking episodes. I've never done that in my life, never. And, writing this gibberish, my wife says it's a form of writing, surrealistic writing. A friend of mine said it was a code, and I was tempted to go back and research, and I go, wait a minute, I did this back then, and I don't want to go back into that world again. I mean, it almost killed me.
So were you saying, is it to benefit you, or can you stop it?
He wants to stop it.
The question is,
right.
What am I dealing with? Like I said, the church told me one thing, and the scientists told me something else. We've got alien supernatural forces. And what I was trying to find out is which one was causing which. Was it the supernatural creating the alien, or the alien creating the supernatural?
Well, the question is, what is the supernatural? The supernatural.
Yeah, you can't understand the supernatural. I mean, it's a catch-all phrase.
But, right.
But that's the reason why I called. I just don't want to open any door, and I thought maybe you might have an answer to what's happening here.
Well, what I will say about this, John, is when our planet was, you get down to the very basics, souls came here, they embodied, they took on human physical bodies, but where did that soul come from, and where was it in other places before it got here? So, that's where, in essence, if you want to really stop and think about it, there's not very many. I would think that there would be very few souls that literally came from this planet. We all came from other planets at some point or another, and so we have experiences. I mean, the eons and eons from the time that our soul was created until we have find ourselves in this physical body. We have been through many dimensions. We have been through other planetary systems. And so for people to tell you that, you've been in these other dimensions, other planetary systems, it's very much within the world of certainly what I know of in my work. And it would seem to me the appropriate thing to say to you that you probably have been through other dimensions, other systems before you even came here. So this concept that there are aliens and then there are people who have only been involved in this planet, Earth, is not exactly an accurate thing to say. We also come to this planet and we make agreements on other levels, and so one of the questions or one of the thoughts that would be in my mind, are you working through some sort of an agreement that you have made with others? And if you have, what is the purpose? Have you given any consideration to that?
Well, like I said, the original reason for even coming out was to try to help this nurse who reminded me of myself back in the 80s when it was going on. She was really in a panic state. And when somebody had read my book and said, wow, this is incredible, you know, like a talk, I said, well, you know, maybe nothing's happened. You know, I really would like to talk about it, get it out, and see. But then when I started seeing these two things happening, I said, well, you know, maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe I shouldn't, you know, maybe I should just dummy up and not come out again. It's really a lot to hold in, you know, all these years. You know, when I first met my wife, I gave her a rough draft of, and the reason why I wrote the book is it was cathartic. It got it out. This friend of mine came over and read my journal one day at my house when I was living in California. He said, is this all true? And I said, yeah. He said, you really should, you know, write this as a book. So I gave it to my wife to read when we first met, before we got married. And she took it back to Venezuela, and she came back to see if I was crazy. Mm-hmm. And, well, she married me, so obviously
she didn't. She loved you, well, whether maybe you were crazy or not, huh?
Right, but, you know, it just like this writing, I mean, this just blew me away. I would never write anything like that.
Yes, it's not the sort of thoughts that you would put together that we would say would be logical.
No, and then seeing it being written in stone and the animation and the color, you know, it goes back to the psychedelic era, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't take drugs. And then when the second occurrence happened, you know, she said I was walking, and she asked me what I was doing. I said nothing. And
John, this is the sort of situation that, from my point of view, I don't think it's wise for me to discuss this with you on the radio. What I would suggest, if this seems within something that you might be persuaded to do, is to go to my website, CarolynEvers.com.
What is it again?
Carolyn Evers, CarolynEvers.com, and order a reading, an Akashic reading.
Okay.
And what I do is go to the center of the cosmos and read the Universal Akashic Records.
Okay.
And I think the questions here is, now this is my point of view, you can ask your own questions. My point of view would be, number one, as you say, who are you working with? The entities that you are working with, who are they? Number one, that's the first question. The second question would be, did you make an agreement with these individuals? And if you did, then what is the purpose? Now, if I were in your situation, they would be the kinds of questions that I would want to know. In other words, what's the point of all of this?
Right.
Yeah. And how will
it
serve?
Like I said, it's that 10 years, I mean, especially after I won the airplane, I mean, it was a world that you can't even begin to comprehend.
Well,
what I was living in.
You've had a very difficult time, John, and if that seems within something that you might want to do, I would suggest it to you. Now, something else here, Charlene, what do you think of this? That you go in and see about if you can do this, releasing some of the fear in his DNA around this situation?
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Because part of it is fear. I'm picking up that you have a lot of past life and DNA situations that are clouding what you need to do. You know, and there's so much fear associated with it because you don't want to go back into what you had before. But you,
Charlene, do me a favor, darling. You go into and do that, and then if you can release some of the fear from the past lifetimes, we'll talk about that. And when you do that, I'll talk to John a little bit about what you're doing.
Okay.
Okay, darling?
Okay.
What she's doing, John, you haven't listened to our radio show before, And she is going into the quantum field, which is the field that God, that Supreme Source works in.
Mm-hmm.
And she can, because you have requested it, release fear surrounding this event from your DNA. And so I think it would be very helpful for you if that were done. And when, now she does not hear us because she is in theta. If you you probably know about the different wavelengths, like we're in beta because we're talking, and then there is alpha, we get into theta, and then into delta. She is in theta right now, working with the DNA, releasing the fear around this situation. She might even come back with some past lives that she can talk about. I don't know. We'll see when we'll see what she says when you know, when she comes back, because she doesn't hear me speaking to you right now. And you might decide after after she comes back and sees what's going on in perhaps some of your past lifetimes, you may even want to work with Charlene in the future. She might not be able to work with all of the issues that you had surrounding this event in the amount of time that we have. But I certainly can understand what you're going through. It has been a very difficult time for you because, first of all, any time we work with something that we don't understand, it's frightening.
Yeah, I know. When all this was going on, when I was working with Dr. Hatcher and Dr. Haynes,
mm-hmm.
I'd already seen all the so-called top scientists dealing with UFOs and paranormal and that, and I was so desperate I went to the Russians. This was back in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this Cold War was going on, and one of the, Dr. Hatcher got very upset at me. He said, "Don't you know they could have kept you?" But that didn't even enter my mind. I couldn't find answers here in this country. I said, "Well, let me check with the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
Need some answers." And they turned our back as soon as I mentioned the Illuminati and the Rosicrucians.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, you're finding that other people are finally talking about having these encounters too, and they've been fearful about saying anything, but more and more are coming forward, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm also a congressional liaison. I work in Congress and I do documentary films, and I just know a lot of things that are going on now that the average, because of the media, they're dumbing down by the media what's going on, and it's really...
Well, John, when you call Carolyn, would you please give her an idea of how you're feeling and if the sleepwalking has stopped and if you're out of the fear?
Well, He hasn't decided that he's going to ask for a reading, Charlene, but let's ask him now. How do you feel, John, now that she has gone in and looked at your DNA surrounding fear? Do you feel a little less fearful?
I'm looking at your website. I like the angel. I think that changed, some things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't notice any difference.
Okay, because it also was pulled out of your past life. All pulled out of your past life and all dimensions of time and space. And all languages. So any time that you have had that kind of experience has been pulled. The fear associated with it, okay? Now you're
what you're saying, Charlene, is this is not the first time he's been involved with this, correct?
No, you're not. It's
see,
not
I had the sense.
Time.
I had the sense of that too, John.
Right.
I say that again.
I had the sense of that too. This is not the first lifetime where you've been involved in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And what Charlene is saying is, she was perceiving other lifetimes where you've been involved in this, and so that there was fear surrounding this from other past lifetimes, and she pulled the fear surrounding these events in the past lifetimes also.
Yes, I ask God to go in and pull your fears associated with all past lifetimes, all dimensions of time, and space, and languages. All of those fears that you've been packing or carrying around with you.
And but see, there's more issues involved with this other than fear. But
right.
And so we can only deal with a certain amount being on air, but, you know, there's other emotions. She's working with the emotional body, and there's other issues surrounding this in addition to fear. And she's only, you know, we're just, that was my thought, that one of the things that you need to work with is fear. So we asked her to pull that fear out.
Okay. A couple of things in past life that was mentioned was Vikings and also Greece. That came up a couple of times. The one saying that previous life ruler Mars and having a war with Ra, and I became a little paranoid when I was investigating, and my investigation led to the Rosicrucians, which is based on ancient Egypt. I went to their headquarters in San Jose,
mm-hmm.
California, and had a quite interesting experience there.
Well, if you go in, since you're on my website, if you go into that little section there where the doorway takes you to the Akashic reading site, you get a little idea of what we do by way of reading the Akashic record.
Which one do I go to?
Well, on the very bottom of that site, there's like little
Akashic
doorways or books, and one of them, the first one on the very left side, is Akashic Reading.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
If you go into there, it takes you to the Akashic Reading website.
Right.
It tells you all about the different levels of Akashic Readings. I work with the universal ones in the center of the cosmos, and I think, if your soul prompts you to do this, it might give you some answers that you're looking for.
Okay.
Okay, but what?
I will look at it, and if I see that that I've opened another window or something again going into that, I'm just going to.
Because on the radio, it's difficult to give the kind of information that you're looking for. Charlene, you were going to add something to
yes.
This.
Well, what happened was when the fear and that you said anxiety was pulled, then it was replaced with a sense of peace and understanding, so that you'll feel peace and understanding of what's going on, so that you can make a good judgment.
Okay, well, I'm looking at your website, and let me go from there and do a little research on here.
Well, John, I certainly do understand, what you've been going through. It's been a difficult time for you.
Yeah, it's been, like I said, pretty quiet ever since I stopped in 84 and 85. I mean, it's been things that I just never paid any attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
But this latest thing was just, something that.
Well, it also
really
released you from the
sleep and
walking. It also released you from the sleepwalking, because that's creating a great deal of fear for you. Okay?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate it. And,
John, call it back.
Check with you online here and
mm-hmm.
Let you know how it goes.
Yes, we'd like to know.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
Bye.
Bye. Before John called, we were, by the way, for those who may wish to call in, the number here is 877-876-5227. And before John called, Charlene, I was talking about the scientist who had been working on the genome project, and of course that was the mapping of the genetic code of the physical. And they were finding that people As they were looking at, you know, the DNA, they were finding that individuals who had certain illnesses, like they used an example of diabetes, but there was others also, that when they did when they did a scope on the DNA, that there were certain receptors that were turned off. And they became intrigued with that concept, and they found a small village in Iceland, which was a wonderful place to study, because they were closed off or cut off from other people, and all of the records and documentation was there. And what they found was that when people died from illnesses, like they were looking at diabetes and other, you know, what we would consider a severe kind of an illness, they found that people had periods of famine. We're going to get back to this because it has to do with the DNA.
Okay.
Let's take this other caller and your name, please.
Oh, it's Dominic from London.
Yes, Dominic.
Oh, okay. I just thought, well, basically, I got a, I believe I got a blockage in my head that I want clearing. There's another one.
Now, what kind of blockage, Dominic? What do you think it is?
Well, it's just, well, I suppose if I had a wild guess, it might be an alien implant, but an energy-based one. And it's just kind of blocking me having proper thoughts.
Okay, Sterling, did you hear Dominic?
I could not.
Okay, let me repeat what he said. And Dominic, if you want to correct me, if I don't have something right, then let me know. Dominic thinks that he has an implant. Did you say Pleiadian?
No, an energy-based one. I don't think it's a physical one.
Oh, okay. He has an implant blockage in his head, he thinks, that is blocking. Would you say thoughts? What kind of thoughts did you say that you thought they were blocking?
I suppose basically allowing me to control myself. It's sort of, it's guiding me, but it's also blocking out, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's making sure I don't do anything too wild and wacky. It's kind of guiding me, but it's just so painful. And
now, when you say painful, Dominic, do you mean physically painful?
It feels like it's a pain, but it's blocked out. I don't feel the pain, but I know the pain is there.
I'm going to ask Charlene if she can see something that you're talking about. Charlene, did you hear, dear?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
are you able
looking.
To look in and see what if there is something blocking Dominic's thinking process?
Yeah, let's go in and look at it, okay?
Dominic, if she has your permission, which I suspect that she does, she'll go in and take a look and see if she can see something that you're thinking might be blocking your thoughts.
Okay, first of all, let me go in and connect your, doesn't look like the left and right brain are interacting with each other.
I agree.
Okay, so it's called brain mapping, and he'll go in and do that. Is that okay?
Yes, please.
Okay, just a minute.
Now, Dominic, did you understand what she said to you?
I think that the left and right brain were not interacting correctly.
Yeah. She says it's called brain mapping. So you're perceiving this as a block, mm-hmm. and what she is coming up with, Charlene is saying that she's seeing this as the right and left hemisphere are not... I guess the best way to say it is sending the signals to one another that they're recognizing it.
Yeah, blocking communication, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, what I'm thinking it might be something from the past that's now over, and there's still all this weird stuff that's still happening, and my brain needs to be synchronized.
Well, you know, the human body is so fascinating, Dominic, because... you know, when you think of all the nervous systems emotionally, I mean, we're a big chemical reaction inside the physical, And then we've got all these nerves that are have their own jobs to do. And, I mean, the body is extremely complex.
Mm-hmm.
And the electrical wiring, if something is not correct with the electrical wiring someplace, it could cause us problems, too. I mean, to me, it is just the physical body is so amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, over the last 20 years, I've been through so many weird things that, you know, for me to guess what it is, it's so many options that I would seriously think about something related to ETs, but then not necessarily. And it's whatever has been going on my whole energy field, whatever, I'm sure it's changed so often.
Do you see your energy field?
Sorry?
Dominic, do you see your energy field?
I can perceive it. I can sense images about it, and I'm not really sure what to make of anything anymore. It's a problem. I kind of gave up after a while, but I thought, oh, this is too much for me.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now, I want you to relax.
Okay.
Just relax. Relax more.
I'm relaxed.
Okay, now I want to see if you can see and perceive the right and left brain automatically going back and forth as I'm speaking. Otherwise, you're not doing the visual and the speaking at the same time. So as I'm doing that, see if you can see the connection with the left and right brain as I'm speaking.
Okay.
Can you see it?
I'm sensing some kind of pattern. It's like spark patterns coming in between them.
Okay, good, good, good. Keep doing.
One side is blue and the other side is red.
Looking.
And then there's this little... lovely pink fizzy energy whizzing around.
Okay, I have to keep talking, okay? I have to keep using words as long as... While you're visualizing, you have to have the words coming, too. Verbal is left. And so I have to keep talking as you're connecting and seeing the right and left connect. So it's important to talk. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of energy of vision and ideas coming interconnecting.
Now I want you to take some deep breaths and blow out. Okay. That's better. A little bit more. Okay, one more and then visualize again. Okay, now can you see the energy moving?
I do. There's kind of a dome of pink energy over both of them, both halves now.
Okay, it looks pretty good.
That's very intriguing. It's, you know, I could feel a little bit much lighter. I was wondering what caused it. It's just so weird. But maybe one day I'll find out.
Okay.
Well, you did see the energy moving back and forth now, didn't you, Dominic?
Yeah, I perceive it now. I perceive there's energy communicating between them, like little spikes of energy coming in between, and little disinformation coming in between, and.
Before you go, I want to ask Charlene something, Dominic. Hold on for a second. Charlene, has this always been this way, or is this something that happened recently?
Well, this is part of his... it looks to me like it came in, Dominic, with your DNA, your ancestral line.
Mm-hmm.
So that had to be cleared as well, okay?
Okay.
As part of the past, did you have other members of the family that had the same issue?
I do not that I know of. You know, it's just it would be easy to find out. I couldn't really, you know,
they probably
we wouldn't be
know,
talking about
huh?
these things. But no wonder maybe my mom.
Charlene, does this make a figure eight between the two?
Right. Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the infinite.
It's called the what?
Infinite symbol.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It's making a figure eight.
Right. It's making an eight.
Yeah.
And that's what it's called. It's when you connect the right and left brain, because you have a what's called a middle line and a midfield. And many of us do not cross over that, and we are, end up being very dominant right brain or dominant left brain. But in order to function in many, many areas, you have to cross over back and forth. Learned that while I was taking educational kinesiology.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did right now is ask God to go in and not have that break there. Otherwise, he was either functioning on the right or he'd function on the left. But they wouldn't interact with each other automatically back and forth.
Now, is
quickly.
This permanent, Charlene, or would this, is it possible
it's
to...
It's quite prominent.
Now, what I mean is, this correction that you that you're working with Dominic, and this correction has been made. Is there a possibility to have a relapse of this, where the break comes up again?
No,
no,
No. God's done it.
I wonder if it was my father's side or something, but I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
Well, Dominic, you can thank God and Charlene and
thanks.
Yes,
it's very important because he's the one that went in there, and I'm the facilitator. I get to watch what he's doing, but he also broke it in your DNA so that it's not in that DNA anymore.
Yes, you know, the blockage in my chest has improved brilliantly. People have been noticing that I'm chatting much more intricately than before.
Well, that's wonderful.
Good.
There's still confusion in my throat chakra. It's... I don't know. You know, probably the brain problem there might have been causing some confusion in the searcher.
Well, let's see how this works, Dominic. Give this an opportunity. Give this a chance to work since this connection's been done. And when you go to bed tonight, praise God.
Yeah.
Say a prayer of thanksgiving.
Well, because what you'll find is your ability to write and to listen and to... And also to hear and to write at the same time, or do more than one function at a time, will be easier.
Uh-huh.
Because you're going to function on both sides automatically, and they'll be serving one another rather than an individual. So let me know how well you're doing.
Okay.
Listen to something and then write at the same time. In other words, if somebody's talking, write what they're talking.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because then you've got both left and right doing it, okay? And let me know how well you're doing.
Fantastic. You know, I think some magical feeling happening in my brain now.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much indeed. Okay.
Okay, let's see how it goes.
Cheerio. Bye.
Thank you for calling.
Goodbye, Dominic. Charlene, why don't you give your telephone number in case there's people who want to talk to you privately?
Okay, it's 801. 944-9346.
And my webpage is www.carolyn evers.com. Might suggest to you to go up to the right hand side and click on conference calls. We have a spiritual hierarchy come in, and you've got your opportunity to ask them questions, which has been just phenomenal. Ask about your past lifetime, the relationships that you've had with them. So, Charlene, getting back to this genome project.
You've got to tell us the rest.
Yeah, they went to Iceland, and what they found was that during times of a famine, because there were times of famine there, and there were times when they had plenty to eat, they found that two generations after a famine, that individuals came up with certain diseases that they had died from. And what I found so fascinating was they showed these patterns where it was 2 years. The results occurred the second generation, not really 2 years. I said 2 years, but I really meant the second generation. And so they found that for women, that they reacted differently than the men. It was the women who were being carried in the womb when there was a famine. That woman, after she was born, it would have been two generations past her where her children died from certain diseases, that the famine had turned off certain codes, and that for the male members, if they were around 9 or 10 when the famine occurred, then two generations from them is when they had illnesses and deaths, and they were finding, they then looked at the genetic codes, and they were finding that there were certain genes that were turned off. They pointed the finger, their results pointed to the finger of these famines where they didn't have the, you know, the proper food. And I found that very fascinating from the point of view that we have seen from the work that you're doing with God that these things run through through the ancestral line, and you also talk about, you know, the releasing from the lines in the future. And so what these doctors were, scientists were saying is that the abuses that we give our body now, such as smoking, things like drinking too much, that it might not affect, be derogatory to your life, but it might be affecting your descendants two generations from now.
Right, yeah.
So what I found
actually, actually what it does is it weakens the DNA. And so then it crops up at another generation because that DNA has been interfered with. And that is that what they were...
This is what they're saying basically is that certain things that we're doing can turn off certain receptors in the DNA, and it shows up in two generations later.
Right.
So you might drink too much today, might not affect that individual, but it might affect those that come after them. I thought it was a very interesting study.
Well, because then you show that we're not, most people say, well, it's my life.
Yes.
But really it isn't. We do affect one another, is what they're pointing out, right?
Yes. Yeah, so this, it seems like, you know, part of it I do believe is in this world that we live in, we have a structure of time that we perceive things as in the past, in the present, and in the future, but in the other realms, the higher realms beyond this one, other dimensions, that time doesn't work that way. That the past, present, and future is running concurrently. And as I see it, Charlene, and I don't know if this is actuality, but, you know, we have to leave the problems in this dimension. The soul passes over into the next higher dimension, and then we come back into this dimension again, and we're working with those things that we have left here. I thought, you know, science, it just seemed, I was so excited about watching it because science is starting to see
to confirm
through
what we've been doing.
Yes.
Yes, that's what you're excited about.
Yes, that's science.
That they're actually, their scientific proof is proving that this is really a fact.
Yes.
That what we're doing is changing that.
Yes.
So it doesn't have to stay there. That's the point.
Charlene, we got to say goodbye, sweetheart, real quick. Give your number one more time, and
okay,
then we're out of here.
I'm sorry. 801-944-9346.
So, goodbye, everyone.
Yeah,
we thank you
love
for listening. And this is Carolyn Evers saying goodbye. And you, Charlene?
Goodbye, everybody.
See you. Bye-bye.